Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everybody. I'm Joanna.
And I'm Jenny.
And this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. Jenny, we saw each other in person twice over the course of like 5 days. So posted something on social media and people were like freaking out.
I know. They were so happy. And I'm like, oh, man.
Jenny and Joanna in one place. We had two meals together.
Yes.
And well, the first one I ordered non-vegan. You had your vegan meal. And then I went to a vegan restaurant.
Yes.
I went into your turf. You are as short as I remember you. Like, actually, I remembered you shorter. I think, you know how, like, you see people and then you sort of create, like, a cartoonish version of themselves in your mind if you don't get to know them? Like, oh, the guy with the big nose, or, like, yeah, the person with the weird, you know, haircut. And then you exaggerate those aspects. Well, I feel like I exaggerated how short you were.
I think I thought you were taller, too.
Yeah, right?
But I then think again, I know in pictures, we probably, you can see the height difference in a picture. But, like, when I'm staring at you, I'm not like, whoa, so tall. Like, you're just the height that I'm used to.
Yeah. I would be really offended if you were taller than me. I feel like that is, I hate it when I meet people, specifically women, because men, a lot of men are taller than me. But when women are taller than me, I'm like, that's my one thing. Like,
who gave you the right?
Yeah. It's so funny because now I'm like hyper conscious about what we talk about in this podcast, because my parents have always sort of listened to the podcast. But now that I'm away from them and like in a different time zone and state, they will listen to the podcast and then call me and say, I listened to the podcast because I missed your voice. I was like, you can just call me.
No.
Yeah, I think my mom is having a harder time with me being far than like me. Like, it's funny because we don't even live in the same city, but just by virtue of me being farther, it like triggers her separation anxiety. And when I was a kid, I would have severe separation anxiety from my parents. Like, sleepaway camp, all the kids were like, yeah, I can't wait to go to sleepaway camp. And I'd be like, yeah, I can't wait either. And in my head, I was like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go sleep away from my parents. I don't want to go do it. I was so attached to my parents. And I'm curious. I think it's kind of like a cultural thing. Like, I have this guilt and this expectation of like, I should be close to my parents. I have to be like very close to them. I have to be talking to them all the time. I have to be in their business. I have to, you know, be available to them at all hours of the day. Like, you know, that's how I sort of see it. And then so many of my American friends are like, yeah, I talk to my parents like maybe once every couple of weeks. I'm like, if I did that, I think my mom would fly out here, hire a private investigator just to get shit on me. Just not even like she could probably find me, but just to get shit on me, to be like, mira, no me contaste que fuiste a un concierto.
I almost want to do it as an experiment. You should just, I just want to see what happened. Like, document your mom, like send like a documentary crew.
Yeah.
And just see how she reacts if she doesn't hear from you.
Oh, no. When she doesn't hear from me, she used to call me like 17 times a day. And then I told her like, that doesn't work with me. So now she like waits till I call. And every single time I call, she's like, ay, por fin. Like, always. She's always like, wow, finally you call me. And I'm like, doesn't matter if I called her an hour ago or 7 months ago. It'll always be like, you don't call me enough.
Oh, my gosh. And your dad, like, is he just as intense?
My dad is, like, super chill. He'll call me once in a while, and he'll be like, hello. And I'm like, hi, Dad. And he's like, just calling to see what's up. Are you alive? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, all right. Okay, love you. Like, meanwhile, my mom is like, ¿y qué comiste? ¿Y con quién hablaste? ¿Y las alergias? ¿Y te tengo que contar? And then she, like...
Is she like that with your brother? Because he's been living away from her for a while.
Yeah, she's very close to my brother. And my brother calls her all the time. And, like, my sister and my brother, I think, are better at it than I am. I just think I'm inherently bad at keeping in contact. But my mom leaves me voice messages, and I'm not exaggerating, that are, like, 4 minutes long. And she's like, no, I don't want to call you to disturb you, but I'm going to leave you, like, 40 minutes of cumulative voice messages over the course of the day for you to listen to at your leisure. And I'm like, that's honestly worse. She'll, like, send a voice message. She'll be like, hola, mi gorda. Bueno, I see. Ya va, Richard. Me pides una Coca-Cola light. Okay. Ajá.
Do you have one? Can you play one for us? Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. It's so funny because, like, she can just stop and re-record the voice message. Like, why does she continue?
She's, like, ordering food.
Yes. She's like, oh, I want to make you feel like you're here.
I cannot.
Okay, let's see. trying to find voice message. What is this?
Hola, hola, Ana. ¿Cómo estás?
Oh, my God. Exactly what you said.
Hola, mi gordita. ¿Cómo estás? Bueno, pasé la noche... No dormí mucho, pero la verdad es que no me hizo falta porque dormiré durante el día un ratico, lo que sea, pero...
Anyway, I think it's really interesting because my mom always compares, like, me to her friends' kids, right? And a lot of her friends live in Venezuela and their kids, like, live in the same house and have children right next door and they're all in the same city. And my mom, like, I think... had that expectation for herself, but then she moved to the States. And in the States, you know, in contrast to Latin America, where generally, you know, you're in your parents' house, you go to college from your parents' house, then you live there till you get married, and then you get married, and then you're in the same city. Like, you know, there's not this traumatic cutting up the umbilical cord. And in the States, it's just so different because it is an enormous country and people are expected to go to college at 18. But then a lot of people leave their hometowns and go work elsewhere. So this concept of, like, you know, a nucleus of the family remaining together feels more Latin than it does American. And America's all like, follow your passion, follow your dream, go find
get out the house
work.
At 18.
Get out the house at 18. Start making, you know, yourself useful. And in Latin America, it's like, hi, pero no te bañas. You know, like,
oh my
stay
God,
here
yeah.
forever. How are your parents? Are your parents like sticky? Is the word sticky?
Sticky?
I meant clingy.
They're probably a little sticky because they live in West Palm and they go to the pool a lot. And it's very hot and humid.
That was good.
But yeah, they're literally sticky. But no, they're very Americanized when it comes to this stuff. Like, it's so weird because I have friends that their parents would guilt trip them about leaving, even if it was like a city 2 hours away. It was enough for the parents to, like, get all guilt trippy and weird and really give them a hard time. Mm-hmm. But no, like, with my parents and even my grandparents, because I moved to LA when they were still alive, and they were all just very proud of me. And they're like, yeah, go follow your dreams. And my mom, especially, because she's kind of a free bird and she loved to travel. Like, she went to France by herself when she was 20.
Like, to live?
No, to visit. She knew the language and she just was like, peace out, and somehow managed to get by my grandma, who back then was more, like, strict and paranoid. And she did it. I'm like, damn, I'm 35 and I still don't know if I would go to a foreign country by myself. But she just went by her goddamn self to this foreign country and just made friends on a tour. She's just kind of all about that and just, like, live your dreams kind of thing. So she obviously misses me and my sister, because my sister also moved out here. So we're her only kids. But I think, like, they're very satisfied that we're here. They're just very like, this is where they're supposed to be. I'm super proud. And because my mom and dad love to travel, so, like, they visit at least once or twice a year.
You see them consistently. It's not like you know.
I see them pretty consistently. I know people that, like, oh yeah, I haven't seen my parents in like 5 years. Like, my mom won't come to LA at all. But no, my parents love coming out here.
I do not understand people that, like, don't see their parents regularly. I don't understand
yeah, that's,
how they
I don't know
It's so weird to me. Like, since I live in New York most of the time, I see my parents probably every month. Every month I see them. And during that time, I am there. Like, they come visit New York and I don't do anything else other than, like, all right, my parents are here. I have to hang out with them every night. I have to hang out with them all the time. I like spending time with my parents. I party with my parents. I have great food with my parents. Get lit with my parents. I watch movies. I have a great time. They're like friends to me.
Aw.
But, like, I do feel that it's just inculcated in me that my parents have to be a like priority, right? And sometimes I give myself anxiety about it, right? So my mom will be in New York, and I had plans. I had plans before she planned on coming, and I'm like, I feel riddled with guilt. I feel riddled with guilt when I'm not like mamá número uno. Like, I feel like the worst daughter. My husband always like tells me, like, please don't fucking say it, because every time I'm like, I think I'm the worst daughter in the world. Like, literally, Daniel. Like, she's here for a weekend, and I have brunch plans on Sunday, and like, I mean, I might as well sign the emancipation papers now, because this mother won't love me anymore. And I don't know where that comes from. I don't know where that comes from.
Well,
I don't know how you felt about your parents growing up, because I saw a stark difference between how my friends acted around their parents in the States versus my friends in Venezuela. It was like really, really different. And growing up here, I felt so weird, because everyone was like, ugh, my mom fucking sucks. My dad sucks a fucking dick. I hate my parents. It's just,
well, that is
so
very
oppressive.
American, for real. I had friends like that. They're so mean.
They're so mean. They're like, ugh, ugh, my mom wants to come to the ski trip. Ew. And I'm like, I would love my mom to come to the ski trip. She's so fun. Like, and then when I moved to Venezuela, I remember one day I was waiting for the school bus and my mom was waiting there with me. And I was so embarrassed immediately, because I was like, oh my God, these kids are going to be like the kids in the States. They're going to make fun of me for my mom waiting for me. And I get on the bus. My mom literally yells at the driver, like, señor, señor, ¿a qué hora es que llega? Ah, okay, me la cuida. Like, she was like yelling at the school bus driver to take care of me. And I was like, oh my God, o sea, trágame tierra. I'm like so embarrassed. I sit down and everyone's like no one's making fun of me. And I said, oh my God, so embarrassing, to the guy next to me. And he's like, oh, why? Seems like your mom's nice. Like, it wasn't a thing. It wasn't
Damn.
A thing. There's like a real weird, like, cultural nuance that I can't really put my finger on. I don't know what it is. And I think it's probably changing in our generation. Apparently, millennials are called the boomerang generation, because we're going back to live in our parents' house. A lot of it has to do with the economy.
Okay, but, well, and the pandemic, but whatever.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we literally have like 4 master's degrees and can't pay for an apartment. Like, that's our generation's reality.
Yeah.
But there is something there that I don't quite know and understand, but there's something about a high regard and respect that Latinos have to their parents. And it's almost like also like a responsibility. Like, I think people in the States are, oh, I have a kid and they leave at 18 and they go off and cat in the cradle and the silver spoon, a little boy blue and the man in the moon, and I don't know when I'm going to see them. And then in Latin America, I really do feel a cultural difference where it's like, no, my parents, I have to take care of my parents. My parents are coming. I have to go visit my parents. My parents are in the hospital. I have to make sure my parents are okay.
Yeah.
It's like that switch and taking care of and being your parents' parent becomes very apparent. Whoa. I am exhausted. Can you tell?
Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match 2 of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong.
Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
So, but you grew up with your grandparents. That's another generation. Yeah. And, like, that parenting must have been very traditionally Cuban.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously took on American customs to some degree because they came here in the 60s. But ultimately, it is Miami. So Miami kind of makes it easy to not do a goddamn thing to assimilate.
Yeah, no, you don't have to.
You're surrounded by your people. You're surrounded by the language and the culture and the music and the food. Everything. So it's a very, very, I would say, a much easier transition. But yeah, it was a very Cuban upbringing, but my abuelo was very much into like American sports, like baseball and whatever. But for the most part, they kind of stuck to what they knew.
But were they, like, were your grandparents strict with your parents? Like, what was the relationship between your parents and your grandparents? Because it seems like you and your parents have perhaps a more Americanized experience, but your parents and your grandparents probably had a more traditional Cuban relationship.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know so much about my dad's parents with him, but my grandfather was always pretty chill. My mom said that she kind of had like a bit of a rocky relationship with her mom because she used to be just insanely paranoid and strict and didn't make the right choices a lot of the times and kind of held my mom back. But she just, it's one of those things, like, she didn't know any better, you know? It's like, ugh. But by the time I was, like, in my 20s, my grandma gave less and less of a shit. I mean, that's kind of what happens, you know? They're very strict about things, and then eventually, with, like, the last grandkid, they're just more lax and less strict and less freaked out. I mean, she knew I was living with my, you know, my now husband, but my boyfriend at the time, before marriage, and she didn't give a fuck. But I think if my mom did that, she would have had a patatus. She would have had a goddamn heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, even with, like, me moving, they were just all about it. There was obviously a lot of sadness, but it was just, like, my abuela, even when I was, like, the Nesquik bunny mascot or I worked at Univision as a fucking quality control editor for telenovela promos, she was always telling people, like, mi nieta la dita. So I got really lucky, I'll tell you that much, because not a lot of people can say the same thing. A lot of people in my same generation will say, yeah, my parents didn't let me do any of that. Like, I could never have gone into acting or filmmaking or any of that sort. And it's weird because no one's an artist. It's not like we come from a family of artists. It was interesting, but I lucked out.
I'm currently in a writer's room and we were talking about Latino parents because there's some characters that are Latino in the show. And one of the writers was like, you know, I heard something that really resonated with me, which is like generally American parents are like, oh, let's let this kid become his or her own person. And Latino parents are like, oh, this person is a reflection of me. So this kid has to reflect my values.
Yeah.
Generally a bit more. So like none of my American friends ever went to fucking church. Like by the time they were 10, they were like, no one really went to church. I mean, I don't know. This is also not middle America. I'm talking about like Boston, you know? And then I remember in Venezuela, I was like, conchale, no, es que tengo que ir a misa. I have to like go to church with my grandma. I have to do this. I have to like, there's like this sort of expectation to represent your family. And I don't know if it's because generally in like Latin American culture, like society is a bit more in your life. Like you're not an independent human in this ethos of the world. You like form part of a society where people know each other and you're friends with your mom's friends, kids and this, that, and the other. There's this like, you know, societal expectations. But I mean, I got really lucky because my parents they had to break, you know, a lot of their norms. Like my dad married a non-Jewish woman and his parents didn't talk to him for 2 years because it was seen as like awful. And then, you know, my mom got married young and got a divorce, which was also seen as awful. So these are two people that sort of broke societal rules already. And their marriage was already seen as like wrong. My mom's older than my dad. You know, there was just a lot of societal rules broken just for that relationship to exist.
Mm.
So they've always been really open-minded and liberal. I mean, for God's sake, my brother is a musical theater director and I'm a comedian and my sister's an art historian. Like clearly they don't give a shit about societal rules. They've broken them.
Yeah.
But like a lot of my cousins and a lot of my friends, I'll tell you right now, from my high school, my Venezuelan friends, there's not one guy who was great at theater or great at the arts that ended up studying it. They all went into engineering or business. And when I asked them, like, why, they're like, oh, like my parents, like my dad said that I had to do this. My mom said that I had to do that. And I just didn't see that as much when I got here. People were like, I'm majoring in Japanese music and minoring in neoclassical lighting. I don't know.
It's so true.
But, you know, it's, I think that is connected to the same thing. I think it's kids wanting to make their parents proud and be the kids that their parents want them to be. And I remember when I was studying history and drama, I think a lot of the stressors weren't on me because I was a woman. So no one expected me to be successful. My parents did, but no, none of our like extended family or their friends. They were like, ay, la loca.
La loca. Bueno,
she'll meet a man who will sostenerla, you know?
Well, I think that was like a similar vibe I got. I remember even from people I didn't know. So I was always met with that kind of weird like lastima from people. And potentially maybe other family members, like I could tell they thought I was probably gonna fail, but then when I started succeeding, now they're like, oh, my famous, I don't want to say because I want to give away too much, but you know, they'll be like, my famous whatever, and I'm like, bitch, you are expecting me to fail, and now you're like showing off to all your friends because everyone in Miami, you know, knows of my videos, but you weren't expecting it to happen. So it's like,
dude,
I don't know. Make I mind.
No, I know. I know.
But my parents didn't doubt me.
I guess we both got lucky, and I don't think it's a coincidence that we both have gotten to the points in the career where we are, because I never felt by my parents. I never felt judged. I always felt encouraged, and yes. I think that is rare, definitely rare. I even look within my own family at like some of my aunts. I'm not saying everyone, but some of my aunts and uncles. And I'm like, if I was born like literally one family over, I probably would be an accountant at H&R Block about to get fucking fired because I'm bad at numbers. But it seemed like an appropriate job for me with my last name. So, you know, but like that's something that's really, I think, really rare and very rare in immigrant parents as well, because so many immigrant parents, I mean, and I don't blame them, are like, dude, you know how fucking hard it was for me to get to this country, motherfucker? And you want to study like freaking cryptology? Like, no. What if we're kicked out of this country too? And my dad with my grandfather had a lot of pressure as well. Like my dad wanted to study economics, which nowadays is like, oh, that's a good one to study. Like, you know what I mean? But back then, economics was like the equivalent of saying like kabuki theater. I want to major in kabuki theater.
I might go to clown school, which I am currently enrolled in. But anyway.
So my dad, like, you know, he's the son of two Holocaust survivors that went to Venezuela, didn't speak the language. And they were like, we're going to send our kid to Cornell University so that he never has to worry about his career ever again. You know, my grandfather had like a second grade education, and my dad had to hide it from him that he was studying economics. So he like enrolled in the engineering school and found a major that technically was in the engineering school, but was actually economics, just to like let it slide, like basically to lie to my grandfather. And then he was like, he wanted to take astronomy and he had to like hide it from my grandfather. And, you know, my mom wanted to be a singer and she wanted to be a performer. And my grandfather was like, women shouldn't do that. That's bad for women. People will think you're a floozy. You should study something serious like psychology or like, you know, finance.
Mm.
And I think I absolutely had the opposite experience, where my dad always said, follow your passion and money will follow. And my mom would just say, like, you got to do something you love, because for her, you know, I think for a lot of her jobs, she didn't love it and she wished that she did.
Yeah.
But I wonder how many people I know of our age have been, and I think a lot, have been pressured by parental expectations and how they will react in with their kids.
Yeah. Especially from, you know, my hometown in Miami, it's something that's very common. And like people look at me like I'm weird, like not in a bad way, just like, whoa, she left. What the fuck? And she went cross country. Because it's true. Like you're talking about Latin America being so different when it comes to leaving the nest and stuff, or like just parents being super involved in your life and how it's no big deal over there. It's not like made fun of versus here. But Miami was very similar because obviously it's Miami.
Miami's not the United States. I'm sorry. It's the closest you can get to the United States.
Exactly. So because of that, like, I have a lot of friends who have a lot of aspirations and things, and they want to move and they want to explore, and they just can't do it. They can't do it because it's not always the parents. Sure, a lot of the time it can be. The parents are guilt-tripping them, like, oh, you need to be here, you need to be around. What about when you have kids and I want to be here with my nietos and blah, blah, blah. But it's, sometimes it's just my friends who are just like, no, I can't leave them. I can't leave them behind, or like, I need to be around family. And again, I don't judge that. Like, that's obviously whatever brings you ultimate happiness, right? So I know people that for at one point considered moving to LA for like a career in film, and then would settle for like Atlanta or Northern Florida because it was at least still closer to family. Like, they couldn't do the big West Coast move because that was too drastic for them. But for me personally, it's not that I don't care about my family. It was very, especially because I moved when my grandparents were still alive, and they were like a big, like, leaving them and my parents was like a double whammy. It was one of the most difficult things I ever had to do in my life. Emira, they ended up passing away like a year later.
Mm-hmm. It's your fault, Jenny.
Well,
I'm sorry. That was a horrible joke.
No.
That was like me guilt tripping you like a good Latina mom would.
Yes,
like,
thank you.
Por ti te fuiste y se murieron del dolor de corazón.
Yes. But no. I just felt so bad because I was like, oh my God, I'm leaving them. And but it, so me leaving obviously had nothing to do with the fact that I didn't care about my family.
Mm-hmm.
But the way I was raised is just like, you have a life. You only got one life. Mm-hmm. So go do the thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't worry about us. Obviously, I mean, we're living in a time where you don't, you know, it's not Oregon Trail. Like, you're not taking bison across the river, you know, like, there's FaceTime, there's WhatsApp, there's all social media platforms, etc., etc., etc. So that made it easy. Like, when I first moved out here, like, I would talk to my grandma all the time. Till this day, like, with my parents, I talk to them frequently. Like, I talk to my mom almost every day.
Oh my God, my mom is going to guilt trip me now. She's going to say, like, viste que Jenny habla con su mamá todos los días. And I'm going to be like, fuck.
My mom and I are just very similar. We just like to talk a lot. So then we talk a lot to each other. But yeah, like, you know, I don't think it makes me a bad person. It's just that for me, my career is like super important. And that's why I did what I had to do. And I don't judge other people for staying.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell. Starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now. From just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I have to admit, like, my parents have never been that far away from me, ever. This is the first time. I'm a 6 hour flight.
Yeah, 6 hours.
I've never been more than a 3 hour drive ever.
Wow.
So I feel guilt, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm getting it from, but I'll wake up at like 4 a.m. Like, what if something happens to my mom? What if something happens to my dad? What if I'm like not there? What if I'm like, I carry the guilt. Like, I'm aware that what I'm doing is right for me and I need to be here. I'm aware of all these things. I just can't help but shake that feeling of guilt. Maybe it's because I just like torturing myself. I can't let myself be happy. It's like, you have to be worrying about something to feel something, Joanna. This is what life is. It's hard. But I just like can't shake it. And I think one of the biggest reasons, because I've been postponing coming to LA and, yeah, you know, moving here. And I would say that a great portion of the reason is my family. Like, I don't have my family on the West Coast. I just don't. I have a dad's first cousin. Like, you know, I love her. What's up, Dori? See you for Passover. But like, it's, you know, it's not my parents. It's not my siblings. And it, yeah. I don't have a, like, a network of people here. I have friends, but I don't have my cousins. I don't, like, it's just, it's different. And like, I think for a lot of Venezuelans right now, and a lot of, you know, other countries that where people are leaving in droves from where they're from, they're feeling a lot of this, and they're being confronted with not only the feeling of like feeling alone, but like the feeling of guilt of like, I should be there. And I think it's unhealthy. Like, yeah. I think, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, to a certain degree, of course. But I think as you said, I think it's just so important to live your life and be happy, and obviously prioritize the people that love you the most. But damn, it's not easy. It's really not. Like, I'm struggling, girl. I'm like, oh, my whole family's together with my grandfather, and I'm like here, and I'm like, did I make the right decision? What, when I'm on my deathbed, will I regret this moment? Like, all the time.
I remember when I first moved to LA, I was 28, and I feel like, oh my God, like, to me, I was a baby. And I remember I had never lived away from my mom. Like, remember that. I was living with my parents.
Oh my God, you're right. Even going through college.
Yes. Oh, I was shit, living with Jenny. Them until I was 28.
Dude, you're like a straight up, like, you're like, yeah, I did. I had the more American upbringing. Bitch, you lived in your house when you were 28.
Yes, girl. Yes. And so was my husband. My husband was living with his fucking parents in Kendall, which is the hood, according to A-Rod. He was 30 years old, still living with his parents. So we were both like, snip, snip. We just left. And then this is how me and my husband lived together for the first time, was when we moved to LA. And I remember we got this really shitty apartment. And I remember like really going through the emotions of like, man, I miss home. Fuck. Mm-hmm. But especially in LA, man, like, when you get so busy with your work. And then now that I've been here a little over 7 years, like, my sister's here now. All of my fucking friends from Miami have moved out here. We're all working together. And then I've built all these friendships from my time at BuzzFeed and Me Too. And it's like the networks keep building. Before you know it, you don't feel so lonely anymore. Like, you really don't. You've kind of built like a family out here. And we just don't feel lonely anymore. And I mean, what does help is that we do try to see each other a couple times a year, you know, we like travel to see each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only way of doing it. And I just think it's kind of insane. Like, in Venezuela, in Caracas, I lived in a building, right? And it was a five-story building with two towers, and one of the towers, it was every single person in my family. So every aunt and uncle had an apartment in that building. And we all lived together in the same building. Mm-hmm. And my mom, her family, all lived in Venezuela. And they all sort of lived nearby. And then two brothers moved to Margarita together to be on the same island. You know, and they were like, oh, we're leaving Caracas to go to Margarita. But we're going to go with we're going to go where my brother's at. Like, you know, there's always been this constant, like, sense of bringing a piece of your family or living with your family. You live more of, like, it takes a village type of life. Like,
yes,
you're not alone. And I went to visit my friends in Spain, and I got so jealous. Like, I felt kind of a rage, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I realized it was because these motherfuckers live in a great city. They live with all their cousins, all their uncles, all their parents, all their siblings. Everyone lives within like a 2-mile radius. Everyone's friends with each other. They all take care of each other. And I'm like, I think that in the Americas, just all of it, generally, like, you don't have a lot of generations that have been here. And people are moving all the time. And you literally, these friends in Spain, it's like, pues he vivido acá desde hace seis generaciones. Like, you know, six generations we've been in this city, and we haven't had to move. And we've just stayed here happily.
That gives me anxiety.
Latin America, it's like every fucking 2 years a different country is having an upheaval and you got to get the fuck out. And then here in the States, it's like, well, I got to move to Pittsburgh now because I've been transferred. So it's like this experience of like communal family life. Like I hadn't seen it until I went to visit a lot of my friends in Europe. And I'm sure, you know, Europe has gone through, obviously, their upheavals. And I'm not saying that didn't happen. But like here, I mean, you can't go back too many generations, really. Before someone came from somewhere, generally, and someone left their family, someone had to leave their get on a boat and fucking leave everyone. Do you know what I mean? And now it's like, I think that my grandparents and great grandparents and whatever and parents were hoping to reestablish that sense of like, okay, now we don't go anywhere, now we're here, and it's just been absolutely impossible. It's just can't happen.
Just kidding. My mom's like, ay, por fin, yo en Boston y tú en Nueva York, tan lejos.
And I'm like, peace, I'm going to California. Basically, the other side of the country, literally. And it's like, you know, it's just the desire to have something that's almost impossible is pungent.
I mean, the reason why, like, you describing that, I mean, I can see the beauty in it, right? But it gives me anxiety because... So, for example, like, where I kind of grew up, my grandparents' house in Westchester, Huachete, most of our neighbors had lived there forever, for decades. And there was one specific house that the family has lived there together since the 70s. Like, it's the same house, the same size, and it's only gotten bigger and bigger. So it's like the mom and dad with the abuela. They used to have the abuelo, but he passed. And then... The grandson, the son, and then he got married, and then she had two kids, and then with her he had a kid. They're all living in the same house.
Yeah, they keep on adding annexes. They add like levels.
No, they're not. They have not added levels to the house.
Oh, really?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And it's like they seem to be doing fine, and I don't want to sound like I'm judging. If it works for them, great. I can't do it. I'm so glad that I came out here with my husband because I'm like, I don't know how I would even do with roommates.
My parents' house in the Berkshires, like they were so obsessed with getting a house big enough that we all fit in. They were like, well, we got to get a house somewhere where we all fit at the same time. And everyone's like, why? We can just go visit. And he's like, no, they're like, no. There has to be enough rooms for everyone because we all need to be living together for at least a month out of the year. We all come to one place and we live together and we use the same bathrooms and we yell at each other and we get angry at each other. And there's resentment and the laundry piles up and then someone loses the car keys and we cry over it. That's what we need to do. We need to do that every year, you know, convivir. It's just like, you know, this expression my mom always says, like, it's not just important to visit, it's important to convivir. And I don't think there's an equivalent to in English, and I might be wrong, but convivir is like not just spending time together, but co-living. You're living in the same space. That sounds like something that animals do in the zoo, but alas, my parents' house is a bit of a zoo when we're all in there, so it all works out. But that's like a push. Like if I don't go to the annual family reunion where we're all conviviendo in this house, it's like, pero y entonces, ¿cuándo vamos a convivir? When are we going to fucking be in the same space together yelling at each other? It has to happen. You know, I do fear that when I have kids, they come out Americanized. I know that sounds awful. I'm like, I want them to like follow their dreams and passions or whatever, but I know myself. I'm probably going to be like, what do you mean you want to go to University of Chicago? There's Turnpike Community College right down the street and you can stay with me. Like, I know that's not being a good parent, but like, you know, there's something there that like, I do appreciate the positives of both. And of course we're generalizing, but it just seems to be, you know, a pattern where I think Latinos are way closer to their parents generally, and Americans are untethered and go where the work takes them.
Yeah.
And I think a balance of both is I used to feel resentful that the untetheredness made it so that I couldn't spend time with my family and like, you know, I'm here in LA, whatever. But honestly, you know, you made me see that other than the obvious positives of like, yeah, career advancement and this, that, and the other. But, you know, it's, you can't have it all in life. And
it's hard. You gotta choose, you know. You do have to pick, and it's just about finding the right balance. That's really what it comes down to. It's like, okay, I live over here, so like I gotta, you know, take the time to call them more often, or, you know, make plans for the holidays, you know, etc.
Yeah.
And ultimately it does work out. I mean, I think it's made my relationship with my parents a lot stronger, I'll be honest with you.
And also my entire family is having a reunion in Paris with my grandpa without me. And what? I'm just like, well, like I what? Can't go, you know, and I'm just, I am like anxious. I'm anxious on like the three generations. I'm anxious. My grandpa is upset at me. I'm anxious. My parents like are there without me. I'm anxious that my siblings are going to become better friends than they are with me. And I'm anxious that my nephews and nieces will forget who I am. There's just, that's just my nightmare right now. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Not bitter about it. Not bitter about it at all. I say as I stare into the abyss.
But it's all worth it, or at least I hope so.
I want to say my dad is like probably the number one listener to this podcast. You know, my dad, he's the type of person that if he knows that I'm okay, then he sort of lets me be. But I can tell that he religiously listens to this podcast the day it comes out. And my mom does too. But especially now that I'm away from her, when I would see her, she wouldn't need to listen to it. But my dad since day one. So I wanna give a shout out to my parentals. Yo, thank you for having me. Really appreciate the whole like rearing and creating me part of my life. I hope I'm not an utter disappointment. And thank you for loving me unconditionally. I am honestly stressed that I'm away from you.
I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna cry. I miss them so much. My 11-year-old self that was dropped off at sleepaway camp and like was trying to hide the fact that she was depressed because she missed her parents is just coming out. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally fine. I'm totally chill. Yeah, just like,
Joanna.
I miss you.
Price drop. Time to shop. Get to a Nordstrom Rack store today for first dibs on new markdowns. Now score even more, up to 70% off brands everyone loves at Nordstrom Rack. Denim, dresses, sneakers, tops, and more. Plus, get genius deals on jackets, sweaters, and boots for the whole family. Shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and save up to 70% with new markdowns. But hurry, deals this great won't last.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.